Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Exodus 12, verses 1 to 4, 5 to 10, and 11 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided into portions to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, leg, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and not plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be the day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2 and 12 to 19. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is death to his faith of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant, I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer you to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 and 31b to 35. "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour has come, and to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel that he had tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are no greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also be glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. But this everyone will know, that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Good morning. This is Tim Tribble, coming to you from Sacramento, California. Today's readings are Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2 and 12 to 19, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, and the Gospel of John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 and 31b to 35. Today is Maundy Thursday. Today is the day of the Last Supper. It is at night that Judas will come and betray Jesus, and he will be taken to the temple to the high priest, where they will examine him, they will accuse him, they will hand him over to the Romans to be crucified tomorrow. It starts with Passover, and that's our reading from Exodus. This is the Lord giving directions to the Israelites, who are currently slaves in Egypt, of what they are to do on a specific day and a specific time frame in a specific way, so that when he passes through Egypt and kills the firstborn of all living things, they will be spared. And that's why it is called the Passover, because he passes over the houses of the Israelites. In our reading from Corinthians, we have Paul talking to the church at Corinth and telling them what Jesus did at the Last Supper. That this is the cup of the new covenant. This is the body that was taken in remembrance, is broken, and do it in remembrance of me, and the blood of the new covenant. And in John, we have the full narrative of the night in Maundy Thursday. They've eaten. Jesus gets up, takes off his cloak, gets a towel, fills a basin with water, and proceeds to do what is considered a menial task. In that culture at that time, they didn't wear shoes. They had, if you were lucky, you had sandals. There weren't really paved roads. Yes, there was the Appian Way. The Romans had put some, you know, had some road building, but not like the roads we think of today. They were cobblestone. You walked dirt trails. Your feet were constantly covered with dirt. They were filthy. And one of the things a host did when they had guests over, when you came into someone's house, especially someone of means, they'd have their servants come out and wash your feet. Jesus, who says, I am your teacher, I am your Lord, and you say this of me, and it is rightly so, humbles himself to a menial, lowly task of washing the feet of his disciples. And when he gets done, he tells them, you're not going to get this yet, but you'll understand. Peter, of course, Peter, the rock of the church, Peter, the one who will deny him three times before the cock crows twice. He wants, first of all, he starts off, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus tells him, no, if you don't allow me to do this, you have no part with me. You're not with me if you don't allow me to do this. Then Peter, of course, wanting to take it a step further, well, okay, great, so then wash my hands and my head. No. And Jesus, no, that's you're clean. You've bathed, it's just washing your feet. In leadership, there's a concept called the servant leader, where a leader is not so good or so big or so haughty that they can't do basic tasks, the basic jobs, doing the basic things. And how many times we've seen this, you know, it's RHIP, remember that one, rank has its privileges? Jesus is the opposite of that. And in doing this, he teaches us, if you want to follow me, if you want to be like me, you humble yourself. You bring yourself down a notch or two or four or a dozen. No task is too small for you. This is a loving, caring Savior who became human, took human form, and now we come to the twilight of his time on earth, and in his final moments alone with his disciples, they share a meal, the Passover meal. He introduced to us what we in the Episcopal tradition call the Holy Eucharist. Colloquially, it's known as communion, because we commune together. And this is a very, very strong, powerful message. He gives us something to remember, not just images and words, but an action. I am not getting into the theology of whether it represents the body of Christ or becomes the body of Christ, transubstantiation and all that. That's missing the point in my book. To me, when on Sunday, when we have a priest and I go down the aisle, I am honoring and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made and the promise of the new covenant, that we are to love God with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our soul, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the example that Jesus gives us on Maundy Thursday, as he assumes the role of the servant, the teacher, the Lord, becomes the servant, the bottom rung, and washes the feet of his disciples and gives them that mark where he says, that doing this is an example to you that you should do as I have done in verse 15. A tradition in most liturgical churches and a few others, the Maundy-Thursday service is held in the evening. And during the service, before we leave, before the end, is we do foot washing. And it is a very sobering, very powerful experience. Different places do it differently. Some places you have the priest washes everybody's feet. The one I prefer is the one where we rotate through. So you come up, one person sits, they will get their feet washed. They stand up, the person that washed their feet sits down, and then they wash their feet, and you go through that way. So everybody gets a chance to have their feet washed and to wash someone else's feet. I think it misses the point. It's not complete for me if I just get my feet washed. I need to humble myself. And I need to remember that humility is Jesus. And if Jesus can humble himself to wash his disciples' feet, then I can humble myself, because that is what we are as followers of Christ. Amen.
A prayer for those we love, from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, we entrust all who are dear to us to your never-failing care and love for this life and the life to come, knowing that you are doing for them better things than we can desire or pray for. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.